Hey everybody, it's Humphreys. Welcome to the Fladdy Longer podcast. We hope by the end of this presentation, you'll be encouraged to take your next right step in your walk with Jesus. Enjoy. So today I'm launching a new series we have entitled When God Works. We can learn how we can respond best to His activity in our lives. In fact, at Flood Church in Lilongwe, we have a value. We have four values, but one of those values is responding to God's activity for transformation, responding to God's activity so that our lives could be transformed. And what I'm hoping in this series, it's going to be 4 weeks where we're looking at a life of a prophet in the Old Testament. His name is Elisha. Some of you don't actually think a lot about him, me too. But Elisha, amazing guy. In fact, I just encourage you, if you can read up his stories in First Kings, but also mainly in Second Kings, where he's just like has powerful stories and there's amazing things that God is doing in his life and through him. And it's absolutely powerful. So yeah, you can catch up on that. But we're going to just pick up four stories from his life that we're going to look for the next 4 weeks. And I am hoping that this will stir up in us an awareness to be aware of where God is working in you. Where is God working in your life right now? And what's happening? What is He calling you into right now in this season of your life? So today we'll be reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 21. And this is the call of Elisha. So before we jump in, let me just pray and then we'll read the scriptures together. God, I thank you. I bless you for your good. And I pray, Jesus, that as we are reading your word today, God, may your truth be so true to our lives, and may we be captivated by your truth that we will jump on it, that we will say yes to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So yeah, and today, if you don't hear anything that I will say, I would like you to consider a question, and the question is, will you leave what matters most to you for what matters most to God? Will you leave what matters most to you for what matters most to God? And often when I think about this, I kind of struggle with this concept. Probably most of us do struggle with this concept. The concept of leaving something, to get involved into something else, into what God is wanting us to get involved in. And sometimes we can struggle with that. And when I think about that, and sometimes we struggle with that just because we think that, you know what, God says some beautiful things, but we think they're actually not actually meant for us or not actually true for us. So we can say, yeah, you know, God will say, when somebody hits you on one cheek, turn the other one, and you'd be like, "Oh yeah, I mean that's a good concept, but that actually does not apply to me. That's not really true for me." When God says, "You know what? You will be persecuted if you're gonna follow me. You're gonna be persecuted," and you're like, "Oh yeah, I understand that, but I think that does not apply to me." And sometimes we say God says these good things, or maybe He says good ideas, but that do not really apply to us. And sometimes you can think about like, oh, you know what? God says, love your neighbors, you love yourself. And you're like, Jesus, if you would be with my neighbor right now, you would understand that some people are just so hard to love. You don't understand my neighbor. If Jesus Christ, says, hey, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, pick up your cross, deny yourself and follow me. And it could be like, first of all, let's just say that there's nobody who is dying on crosses these times, So I'll take a pass. That doesn't apply to me. We can think that God will say these amazing ideas or truths that does not really apply to us. But God actually calls us every single time. He calls us to get involved into what matters to Him. But the question is, will you leave what matters most to you for what matters most to God? Are you going to leave what matters most to you for what matters most to God. So let's read together 1 Kings 19, verses 19 to 21. And this is what the Bible says. So Elijah went up from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I'll come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. That's the word of the Lord. And let me just kind of give you a little bit of a context right now. So Israel is where this thing is happening. In fact, by this time, the kingdom of Israel is divided into two kingdoms. There is the northern kingdom, which was called Israel, and this included like 10 tribes. And then there was the southern kingdom named Judah. And it is in the kingdom of Israel where this prophet, you know, Elijah is in. And, you know, we see that Elijah was a powerful prophet who actually, you know, was going against what the rulers of then were going, were wanting to get the people into, like the worship of idols. And Elijah stood up against them. And in fact, one time he even stood up against them and challenged the false prophets. And he said, you know what, let's get into a contest. You know, if, you know, we're going to put a wood on one place and each one of us will pray to their God and see which God will bring fire onto it. And the first prophets, definitely for obvious reasons, nothing happened. So for Elijah, God brought in fire, and in fact, he killed them. The deal was he is going to kill them. So he killed 400 of them. And, you know, these prophets actually were servants to the queen and Jezebel. And, you know, Jezebel wanted to, she was very furious. And she said, you know what, I am going to find you, Elijah, and I'm going to kill you because you have killed my prophets. So Elijah turns out to be on the run, and he is running for his life. And, you know, after he ran, he finds himself on this mountain, tired and just saying, you know what, God, kill me, you know, kill me. And before God answers that, he says, you know what, let's feed you first. Let's feed you. And it is at the end of that encounter that God gives him this mandate. He says, you have to go and anoint Elisha, because Elisha will be my prophet after you. So Elijah goes in, and the way he anoints or he chooses Elisha is such a, it's a different way, isn't it? Because often when you read scripture, you would think about anointing to be like, you know, there's oil involved and stuff like that. But, you know, Elijah goes to Elisha, whom he finds, who was working in a field, plowing with these cows and plowing the fields, preparing the fields for the season, for the planting season. And Elijah puts a cloak rather on him, you know, just think about like a Superman cloak, you know. He puts it on him, and Elisha does understand that, and he understands that, oh, actually, this is big. This is big. This is a prophet of God who has put this mantle on me. This means this is an invitation. So he understands that this is an invitation. It's an invitation to leave what he knows. It's an invitation to drop off everything. And it's an invitation to follow and to start a new way of life, to start a new way of living. So he becomes a disciple to Elijah, or a student to Elijah. So that's what's happening right now. And with this story is that it's very fascinating because for Elisha, we don't know a lot about him until this time. And, you know, God invites him to get involved into something that matters most to him. And we see that God's invitation falls on Elisha, and he drops off everything, and he goes and to start and get himself involved into what matters most to God. So we often think that, you know, the call upon our lives is going to happen further, you know, along the way. God is not calling us right now. There's nothing happening with us right now. But the call of God will come. But today, I just wanted to invite you to consider that actually right now, God's call is happening. Right now, God is inviting you to get involved into something that matters most to Him. In this moment, in this season that you're in, God is inviting you. He's calling you. Hey, be involved into something that matters most to me. But the question remains, are you willing to drop off what matters most to you for what matters most to God? And from this story, I wanted us just to learn the nature of our invitation, the invitation that God is bringing, and how we can respond to what matters most to God. So the first thing is, what matters most to God can be received or ignored. What matters most to God can be received or ignored. We are learning here that Elijah puts a cloak on Elisha, and Elisha doesn't understand what that means. This is an invitation to come and to follow God. It's an invitation to start a new way of living. He has to leave everything that he has known to start a new thing, and so he has a choice right now, and he understands that. He understands that I have a choice right now. I would choose to just be like, you know what, let's take a selfie with the man of God right now. Hashtag chilling with the man of God, or hashtag chilling with the prophet, you know, Elijah. Thank you for the cloak. You know what? I'm going to show it around. I'm going to show it off to people. And he could do nothing with it. But he understands that actually I have a choice here. Either we will ignore this, or I will actually respond to this. I will respond to it. I'm not going to just ignore it, but I'm going to respond to it. So, because what matters most to God will bring change in your life when you respond to it. What matters most to God will bring change in you when you act on it, not when you just shore it off. And he has a choice. So he's going to follow or not. And he has a choice. He's going to act on God's invitation, or he could just let it be. So God's invitation for you is happening in your life right now. But the thing is, are you willing to receive? Are you willing to take it up? Are you willing to act on it? Or are you just going to ignore where God is calling you? Because it's happening to you right now. So what matters to God in your life is going to have influence when you let it have influence, when you act on it. But the question is, will you leave what matters most to you for what matters most to God? Number two, what matters most to God is received at a cost. What matters most to God is received at a cost. So just imagine, you know, being like Elisha, and someone comes along inviting you to a new way of life, to a new way of living. And he says, follow me, start a new life with me, come through to this, to something better, to something new. And you have to leave and drop off everything, you know, behind. And this is like starting from scratch, if you would look at it, because, you know, Elisha has been involved in his family business. He has been involved. You could see that he is plowing with animals. Now, I have been there. You know, there was a time when I was in my home village, and my uncle John had to teach me how to plow. In fact, I didn't even get the hold of it, because it's not easy. It's rough and it's tough, and you're shouting and it's sweaty and it's tiring. But he's involved in this and has seen it growing. But you use animals. You plow with an ox when you know this field is big, that we cannot do it with our hands. So we need the help of animals. So he is doing this, and this means he comes from a very prominent family that can manage to have, you know, to have animals that they could use. And he has been doing this all of his life. This is what he has known in his life. And God is calling him into something new, and he's going to have to start from scratch right now. He's going to have to start from scratch. So is this going to cost him? This is going to cost, you know, everything that he has known. So his way of life will have to change. It's going to cost him. It's going to cost him, because he has to leave behind something that's very familiar to something that's unfamiliar. He has to leave behind his family. He has to leave behind his friends. He has to leave behind everything that he has known. So this is going to be so new, and it's going to cost him. It's going to cost him. And we see actually in the story what he does, isn't it? When he responds to the call, he says to Elijah, you know what? Let me go say goodbye to my parents right now. But as he goes in, the Bible says that he burned the equipment and he killed the two animals and he gave it away. He just, you know, said, hey, everybody come, let's have a feast right now. So he gives stuff away and he let other people celebrate, and he just leaves it behind and goes and follows the prophet. He goes and gets involved in what God is calling him to get involved in. So it's going to come at a cost. You know, he has to learn a new skill now. He has to learn a new way of life. So what matters most to God is going to come at a cost. But the question is, will you leave what matters most to you for what matters most to God? Number three, what matters most to God will rearrange your priorities. What matters most to God will rearrange your priorities. Elisha could have said, you know what, I know you're calling me to this, and I understand what this demands, but you know what? I'm going to just take a moment right now. You know, I'm a bit busy right now. Let me just finish off what I've started, and then I can get back to you. This can wait a little bit. This can wait right now. But Elisha actually responds to the call of God upon his life, and he allows that call to rearrange his priorities, the things that he has loved the most, and that now if there's anything else that matters most to him, it is God. So he says, what God says is important, I'll take up that to be important. What God says is number one, I'm going to take that up to be number one. And often I know we talk about making God a priority, and often we say like, hey, make God number one and everything else come second. And I find that to be a little bit misleading, just because making God a priority, it means he is what matters the most in your life, in the way you do life. Making God a priority means he is what matters most to you in the way you do life. So he matters most to you in the way you do life. So the way you do family, does God matter most? Is he involved in the way you do family? Is God influencing how you do family? Is God influencing how you parent? Is God influencing how you live as a single person? Is God influencing how you live as a student? Is God influencing how you do your work? The way you do life, is God influencing the way you do life? That is what is making God a priority. Is he influencing everything in your life? Because until then, you will not be able to get involved into what matters most to God, until when you can say, you know what, I want God to be the priority in my life, you are not going to be involved in what matters most to God. And God wants to invite you into what matters most to him. The question is, will you leave what matters most to you so that you can be involved in what matters most to God? And with this, when I was thinking about this, is like, God's call, causes for us to leave stuff behind so that we pick up onto something that he wants us to pick up. And you can just see it as like, you know what, this cost will be too much. Or you can see it as actually, this is the space that God works the most in me. When we let go of stuff that we've been depending on, when we let go of stuff that have been familiar to us because we're just so comfortable and unwilling to follow his lead, when we let that go, we experience God the most. So will you leave what matters to you for what matters most to God? And number four, this is the nature of God's call, the nature of God's invitation upon your life. What matters most to God often comes to us in the middle of our schedule. What matters most to God often comes to us in the middle of our schedule. God's invitation comes when you're already doing something. And that happens a lot. And probably we have seen that, or you have seen that in scripture. You know, when you look at, you know, like, let's say Moses, he's like doing something. When, you know, David, you know, he's like doing something. And often God will call you in the middle of your schedule when you're already involved into something, when you're doing something else, God comes to you. He often does invite us when we're already doing something, not because we're idle. Because idleness is not what matters most to God, but faithfulness. What matters is not that you're doing nothing, so you're available to God. It's not like, okay, I am idle, and therefore because I'm idle, then I'm available to God. I have nothing to do, therefore I'm available to God. What matters is that you are available to God even though you are involved into something else. That you are available to God even though you are doing something right now. That's what matters the most. And Elisha was involved in something. He was already doing something. However, he was not just doing something. He was doing it faithfully. He was doing it faithfully. And faithfulness is what matters to God. Now, I'm not suggesting, don't hear like I'm suggesting that, oh, God calls people that that have experience. That's not what I'm saying. Probably you have you've probably already seen that having experience does not equal faithfulness, because there are people that have been in one job for like 20 or 30 years, but they are late to work. You cannot really depend on them. You can't go ask them for advice because they don't really know that much. And you're just wondering, like, this person has been on this job for a long time, but actually they are not really faithful. And faithfulness is so different from experience. Faithfulness supersedes feeling and supersedes emotion. And in faithfulness, what you're doing is you are handling everything that's given to you right now with the utmost care. You are handling what's given to you in your life right now as though your life depends on it. You're handling everything that's given to you right now, knowing that, you know what, I'm gonna be accountable for this. So right in the middle of his business, God finds Elisha and he invites him into something else, because God does that. And Elisha, he was living as though what mattered to him the most was the right now, what he had in his hands right now. So if he had a plow in his hands, he was going to do that faithfully. You know, if he was saving his parents, which he was going to do that faithfully. If it is being there for the relationships that he has in his life, he's going to do that faithfully. So you can see, this is why probably people were celebrating him, because he was doing stuff, as though everything depended on it. So even in the middle of your schedule right now, God will invite you into something that matters most to him. But what is going to determine that for you to respond to it is your faithfulness. So the question is, are you being faithful right now? And I think this has been an encouragement to me, that often a lot of young people do ask, you know, how do I know God's will upon my life? How do I know this is the right thing? How do I know, if this is the next right step that I should do? And my encouragement is, be faithful to what is clear to you right now. Be faithful to what is clear to you right now. So what is clear to you in this season? Hey, be faithful to that, because it is in that that God gets you involved into what matters most to him. So how does this look like for you today? How does this look like? How does it look like for you to get involved into what matters most to God? And this, I think, could look different for different people. For some of you, what matters most to God could be an invitation for you to repent. That you've been on this journey, in a way you have been involving yourself in this sinful behavior for a long time. You've been running away from God for a long time, and you don't want to follow God, and you don't want to follow what he says you should follow. You don't want to respond to that which is important to him. And today, for you, it could be responding, saying yes to God's call upon your life. There's no better day of salvation than today, and I want to invite you. And if you know, maybe you're yet to put your your faith in God, and maybe you're yet to believe in Jesus, I want to invite you, for you to know that Jesus Christ is inviting you. Are you willing to drop off that which matters most to you for what matters most to him, and which is a relationship with you, that he wants to have a relationship with you, a personal relationship with you, where you're knowing him and he is knowing you. So he's inviting you, my son, my daughter, will you believe me? Will you believe me? Will you believe Jesus today? So God might be calling you to repentance, and repentance just means a change of mind, a change of mind about God, a change of thoughts, a change of attitude towards God. And you say, you know what, God, you're right. I want to follow you. You're right. I want to go after you. For somebody else, today might be a day that you have to repent, because that's what matters most to God. And maybe you're a Christian, but there's this sin that you've been indulging yourself in for a long time. Will you leave the sin you love most so that you can follow him who loves you most? Are you going to leave it? Are you going to leave it and say yes to God's call? Because he's inviting you and he wants you to come to him. So that could look like repentance for you today. For someone else, what matters most to God could be an invitation for you to say sorry to somebody, or maybe to forgive someone. Maybe you've been holding a grudge for a long time, and God is inviting you. You know what? What matters most to God is this relationship, and I would like you to go to that person and say sorry, or I would like you to forgive that person. So that could be for you. That which matters most to God could be that you should humble yourself and say, you know what, I was wrong, my bad, please forgive me. Or you know what, I've been holding this against you, I just want to forgive you right now. And for some of you, could be, what matters most to God could be maybe dropping off a habit so that you pick up, a habit that will give glory to God. What is it that God is inviting you to drop off, to burn, so that you pick up his mantle, so that you pick up his cloak, his mission, that which is inviting you into. And for all of us, this is for all of us, what matters most to God, if maybe you're also wondering, what matters most to God is that we can love people around us. What matters most to God is that we can share the good news. We can share about Jesus with those around us, because Jesus is so good. And we can invite people into God's kingdom and say there's something better that God is calling you into. Come and join us. Come and see and test God's goodness. So I don't know what it is that God might be calling you in this season, and where God wants you to be faithful in, and where God wants you to grow. What is it that God is inviting you so that you can be involved into what matters most to him? But the question is, will you leave what matters most to you for what matters most to God? And maybe some questions that you can think about today. Where do you have to be faithful in for you to fulfill God's call upon your life? Where do you have to be faithful in for you to fulfill God's call upon your life? What do you need to let go for you to experience God's presence fully? What do you need to let go for you to experience God's presence fully? And how can you help others grow and respond to God's call? Because we see Elijah who responds to God's call and helps Elisha respond to God's call. So, how can you help others grow and respond to God? And my hope is we can just take a moment and we can just pray together right now. And I think what I would like to do is I would like to give an opportunity for those that want to give their lives to Jesus. I would like to give you an opportunity, and then maybe you can just share, or you can just say a prayer with me this morning. You can say wherever you are, you can just say this prayer with me right now. So let's pray together. If you want to put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can follow after me by saying, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I know I am a sinner. I know I need your grace. Forgive me, Jesus. Help me to follow you. Help me to die to myself and to live to you. Help me, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you would forgive me of my sin. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, if you have prayed that prayer, praise God for that. And in fact, why don't you send me an email? I have a Bible for you that I would like to give to you guys. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, I have a Bible for you. So send me an email, humphreys@floodchurch.com, and I'm going to respond to you and send you a Bible. You can come and pick it up, but we can arrange for you to do that. But thank you, and I hope as we're worshiping God one more time, that we can just take time to consider, you know, what is it that God wants us to drop so that we can pick up that which matters most to Him. Stay blessed, and may God be with you. Amen. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to the Flood Lilongwe podcast. For more sermons, visit our website at floodchurch.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Flood Lilongwe YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. Stay blessed.